Namaste, niggas. This is your local snackapreneur, Gooch, coming to let y'all know that I'm gone, but the show shall go on. Make sure you listen to the big homie Cook as she delivers you all the hood shenanigans. Remember, mind your business and stay hydrated. Peace.
Was smoke up in your face, you catching all the buzz. Highly inappropriate, they calling her. Helping niggas flourish on the daily. This that shade, butter shenanigans we may cover. The first to fall alive, look at some play, brother. You see it. This is excellence. Fiji County, no precedence. We black women, we the extra shit. This podcast a testament, that's real talk. So get ready to light it up, we bout to blow. And pour some hitty, can tell your hood rat cousins about the show, yo.
This call is being recorded.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Cook. This is my first solo show, and I'm here this evening with some longtime friends. This is one of the guys here. This is not his first time here. So he's heard him before. He's been here before. However, we do have a new guest with us this evening, so I want to make sure that everyone gives a warm welcome round of applause, to Tissue in the Tape. We have Philmatic 365, and we have Savad, last name Davis.
What's going on?
Sound effects.
What's up, people? Hey, man, it's all good, man. We happy to be here.
I'm just so glad that you can come. I appreciate it. So thank you all. And, you know, while we're getting into it, you know, why don't you all, and I've introduced you, but why don't you all kind of introduce yourselves to the audience and let everybody know who you are, what you're about, and we'll take it from there.
You want to go, Vi? You want to set that thing?
I'll go first. Of course, this is Savad. She so eloquently put, Davis is the last name, Davis backwards. Of course, 757 representer, but also down here in Texas, holding it down. And, you know, just loving life. Some of my passions in life, of course, are hip hop, sports, and, you know, primarily, you know, my family. So those are the things that drive me, but I also like having, you know, good conversations with smart people. So I'm excited to be on the show.
Thank you. Yes, glad to have you. Thank you so much. And Phil, won't you drop us with some bars?
As I was so eloquently saying, you know, before I got rudely interrupted by my young friend right here, excuse my guy, Philip Knight, my puppy, he got a little extra with the with the buttons. So I'm back.
Okay. Yeah. Cut it out.
Yeah, puppy, you messing up the debut on the show, man.
Come on, man. You're messing up the rotation, bro.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know where what you last heard, but this is Philmatic 365. I am from Tissue to Tape podcast. I am one of the heat holders as one of the hosts and hip-hop conservationists for Hip-Hop 365. We do live by the motto that everything is hip-hop, so we try to bring it to you in that way every single day. And that's how we do, man. We just happy to be here with the queen of the kitchen covered. You know what I mean?
Hey, we in here. We out here. So I don't know if you all saw or what have you, but I've been traveling or whatever, getting around. And this weekend, I had an opportunity to go to Indianapolis and hang with some good friends, the Abdullahs, wonderful people, salt of the earth, had a wonderful time. We had the opportunity to go to see Project Pat, and I just want to just let y'all know that I can just scratch, yes, you know, that as one of the things off my bucket list. Like, I did that.
So like, you really do like to do, like, hood rat shit with your friends, then?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yo, in 2019, what is a Project Pat show like? Is it still what it would have felt like in like 1999?
I don't think so. I didn't feel endangered. I'll say that. Voltaire Club up. I didn't feel that way.
You didn't want to hit a motherfucker? Hit a motherfucker?
I mean, nah. Like, I really was on some, like, I smoked before I got there. You know what I'm saying? I got in there. The drinks were cheap. I wasn't prepared for that, you know, the Midwest, how, you know, the cost of living is reasonable. So I was not prepared to go to a club, you know, and then you and pay $7 for a drink. I wasn't. Tito's at that. So I was like, wow, this is, you know, I can deal with that.
Oh, that's fire. You wasn't hit with them DMV. You get a midget sip for $38.
Let me tell you something about the M in the DMV. That shit stands for Miller motherfucking time, because let me tell you one thing, and I was just saying this, it's one thing, you know, and I noticed this, you go out to party in bars in Maryland, them some heavy-handed pouring motherfuckers, like, no, they pour up straight like that. Anything pop off in a spot in Maryland, motherfuckers was drunk straight up, like, period. I'm sorry, like, it's been times I've asked for Tito's and pineapple, and she handed me a clear cup with, like, a little splat, like a little teardrop of yellow at the top and shit. It happens. Oh no, they pour up. But this was, you know, great venue. He came out, matching do-rag, matching shades, matching J's. I was like, yes, that's like, he dressed up for us. So that was very nice. And then he had a bottle of Hennessy, half drunk, in his hands with a cup. And I was like, you know what? Like, this is why I came. This is why I'm here. And he came out, you know, started with some, you know, the classics, the hits and stuff. Now, I will say this. He did not perform long enough for me. Because he didn't hit some of the songs that I personally wanted to hear. But the songs that he did play a good assortment of songs. And, you know, he has a really good catalog. But I needed him to play a little bit more off Eddie Green for me. And that would be my only complaint. Excuse me. But outside of that, I'm glad I went. I'm glad I did the damn thing. And then we went to a little after-hour spot and ate chicken and talked shit. And I had a blast, you know.
I mean, Mr. Don't Play. You know,
it was you know, the bee's knees. It was nice. It was Black Expo weekend too out there, it was just, you know, a lot of Black people out there just being Black, and I didn't know it was that many Black folk out there in that part of the world.
I was just about to ask.
That's one of those hair convention cities, though. They have a lot of people because it's not that far from Chicago. It's kind of in the middle a little bit, like, where you know, so, like, yeah, they get niggerish there, like Mike Epps will tell you, you know.
They do. And you know what, the thing about it, I really enjoyed myself. They was cool, and it wasn't until I thought about it, I was like, yeah, Tom Joyner do be going out to Naptown and shit, like,
yeah,
he do be going and shit. That's right. It was cool Black people out there, and I was so happy, you know, because the white folk out there, you know, they're like, low key, it is still Pence country out there, because,
oh, like,
that
time.
Shit was weird. Pence is weird. It's weird, my nigga. That shit is weird. Weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Every time I think about him, I just can't stop saying weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's how weird it is. Like, it's weird. Phil.
He'll be back. the one thing I can say about Pence, and it's not anything good at all, but he probably really is the perfect running mate slash like sidekick for old boy.
A villain.
Yeah, like he just like he really does kind of have like that Waylon Smithers like you know feel to him. just because like whatever dude says, he's never gonna go against it. He's never gonna say, you know, oh, that was too far. And he's the right blend of like stupid and like
perfect vice president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, evil and just like racist in his own right, that he's just like the perfect Pippin.
He's just scary enough that you like, man, like as much as you don't want Trump in there, you be like, yo, but this dude, man, like how sinister is he really?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the Mueller hearing was today, and I didn't finish watching it, but you know, a lot of people were talking about how, you know, they weren't really satisfied with it. But my thing is just this, and I've said it before, what I want to see happen, I want them all just rounded up and sent to Guantanamo when this is over and done with. And that's just how I feel about it. Like,
oh, man, but we can't be so lucky.
It's like they just get away with it every time. Like, they're just so bad, they're so sinister. Like, it's crazy how it happens. But my thing is like, I need this to be rectified. It can't keep going like this. It definitely needs to be rectified. Before I go on another rant, you know, about it, let me try to steer the conversation a little bit. So everybody, y'all ready? Y'all buckled in and shit?
Oh yeah.
I'm locked in.
All right, so let's get this show on the road and shit. So we're going to get into some events that have been going on. And this one, the first one, whatever. And listen, the show is called Highly Inappropriate. So here's the thing. I'm already high. I will be higher as we continue. At some point, I may say something inappropriate because I did sprinkle a little bit of fuck shit in here with our selection topic. So here's the thing. Right. Listen, don't write me. Okay, just go with it. Okay,
yeah.
Just go with it. It is
laces.
It is. Listen, okay, because I was like, said what I said. I'm not gonna change. But you know, just you know, anyone new here tuning in, just let you know, like, yeah, it is what it is. However, we do have a line here. We respect all of our LGBTQIA community members. We also do not fat shame. We don't slut shame. We keep it 100 around here. You know what I'm saying? No homophobia, no misogyny, no sexism or any eroticism or any other ism and shit. You know, we try to keep, you know, keep it cool and keep it tight. But if you heard to the previous, you know, show, then you already know kind of how this goes. But just the same, I'm still going to do it. I said what I said, I'm doing it. So this one right here, we're going to talk about some bad medicine, right? So just kind of give you a quick recap of what this one is. A Boston hospital is reporting disciplining a renowned child abuse skeptic. So there is a doctor whose name was Dr. Michael Hollick. He was an expert witness for alleged abusers. And these cases are mostly cases of children who've been abused by the adults in their lives, either parents or guardians. And he's a skeptic of abuse. He doesn't believe it exists. And what they found was that he had been disciplined and was restricted from working with certain groups of children or what have you. And a lot of people didn't know that happened with the medical board. So a Boston hospital has had to notify the Massachusetts medical board that, you know, he's restricted because when they say restricted, he's doing a research project where he is actually studying abused children, or he's studying children for abuse, you know, abuse or what have you. And I'll get into that in a minute. But he can only see the kids in that study. Other than that, he cannot practice medicine. So the action is cited on the profile page for the board's website. And it's an alert put out on him that he has restricted his rights and his privileges. So pretty much ProPublica and The New Yorker, they reported on this guy. And he's world renowned, mind you, that he's testified in hundreds of child abuse cases worldwide and almost always blamed broken bones and other injuries on rare genetic disorders. And at the time, the Boston Medical Center said it had barred him from treating or evaluating children under the ages of 13, beginning in May 2017. Wow. So, but he continued, the Dr. Hollick continued to evaluate children in suspected abuse cases as part of his approved research project. And so that's how they think he probably was able to kind of float under the radar, because he was doing, you know, research and things like that. And so it was interesting, you know, that this is something that he really was able to kind of study and get funded for, if you think about it, you know, because it, so they're calling him and they're asking for stuff, but you know, earlier in the decade, he began working as an expert witness in these child abuse cases in the U.S. and abroad. And he consulted and testified in more than 300 cases, and always on the behalf of the accused. And so as of last September, he never concluded that a child was abused. And he always attributed the injuries to hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, a condition that affects the connective tissue in the skin, bones, and joints, and has been linked to bone fragility in adults.
Jeez.
How is this allowed to go on?
Well, first of all, he's a white man, so let's start there.
Let's start there.
Why ask why when you know why?
And I don't say that to slander or, you know, you know, make anyone that might be, you know, not so melanated feel some type of way about that. But if he was Andre Hollick, and you know, he was stripped of his medal, so to speak, and you know, his titles had been taken away, obviously he would not be funded to be able to do some type of research, or you know, be in the presence of people that would be trying to listen to whatever his results were that he found. It's because this guy sounds like a complete cuckoo clock. And he definitely looks like one.
And my concern is that the press was able to uncover this information, but somehow his medical peers really couldn't, you know, put two and two together, even the courts, because he's going through child services.
Right.
And I'm like, how the fuck?
Somebody did a background check, like, hey, Mike.
Oh, they didn't want to.
Like, why are you qualified to speak on the behalf of people that want to know about this? It's okay.
And so they talk about, in South Carolina, they found that three-week-old twins had allegedly been abused, and the parents consulted Hollick, who concluded that both the babies had Ehlers-Danlos and that fractures attributed to abuse could have been caused by bone fragility associated with the genetic condition. And then nearly 8 months later, one of the twins suffered a severe brain injury, and the child's father was charged with abuse to inflict great bodily injury upon a child. And that criminal case is pending.
Wow. I just don't see like how you can just be on the side of the accused in all cases. Like, you never just see a case where you just like, nah, like 50. Nah, whatever they say he did, you know, he did that shit. Yeah, like like sometimes, like especially when it comes to like child abuse, like that's just the case.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate, where you just like, it should be no rap.
Like, but where there are cases where there might be some gray area, maybe you can lend something, so there's a burden of proof. But you know, if not, like you can't, like that's just prime, just like insanity, you know.
Neglect.
Like
negligence.
Exactly.
And that's that's the crazy part, is like, how are you, you know, investigating, you know, negligence? It's like, hey, so I mean, just reading this whole article was crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how he really, you know, felt like people, you know, parents were being demonized. And he had drawn rebukes from other physicians who specialize in treating patients with genetic disorder. And they cited a lack of research supporting Hollick's views that Ehlers-Danlos can cause broken bones in very young children. So he's been criticized for diagnosing the condition in children he didn't examine in person.
Oh my gosh.
Listen.
Oh, this dude is sick, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So... But, you know, Boston Medical Center is a teaching hospital affiliated with Boston University, and it's where Hollick is a longtime faculty member. So, you know, those who can't do, you know. And you're right. It's like there is a degree of privilege there for him to even be allowed to make these publicly, you know, declarative statements about what is abuse and what isn't, you know. And you've got a research grant. You know, yet you haven't shown your work like your peers have said. And yet somehow you are able to have access to children.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, good job, American medical field. Good job.
Well, it seems like they were on the right path in terms of like just stripping him of whatever recognition he had in the field. But it's like, that just needs to be a lifetime achievement type of thing where it's just like, all right, like go sit down, man.
Oh, you know? Man.
Don't even teach.
I don't know. He's got to go. He's got to go away. Yeah. Altogether. So have you guys been keeping up with ASAP Rocky?
Of course.
Of course.
Which is just a wild situation altogether, man. They got my man out there in the Thor countries, just locked up for defending himself.
Thor country, yes.
One of his most famous moments was when he was talking to, I think it was the Rap Radar guys. He's talking to Elliot Wilson and B-Dot with ASAP Ferg. And he was describing one of his moments in jail. And he was talking about how they started fighting in the showers and, you know, they were slipping on semen and whatnot. And ASAP Ferg, he acted like he had never heard the story before. So he was kind of looking like,
oh, his face said he had never heard the story like, before.
His face was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yo, if you ever see the clip and the way you just got to, you don't even listen to the story. Just watch Ferg.
You can watch it on mute. Yeah.
Yeah, and
his face is priceless. So I said that to say, I would imagine if that's happening over here, God knows what's happening over there.
It's Sweden, first of all.
Yeah.
I don't believe this. I'm sorry. When they talk about locked up abroad, do they talk about Sweden?
Well, yeah. Sweden is supposed to just be like the you know, just like the nicest place. Like, you know, no conflict, no big deal.
They get murdered by Muslims because they keep drawing pictures of the Prophet Muhammad in their newspapers and shit. But outside of that, they're pretty neutral.
Yeah.
Have a great high GDP, great quality of living.
Right. You know,
in Sweden, I believe.
They don't want no smoke.
No, like, they're socialists. They have a really great, the way their society is set up, you know, from what I hear, it sounds really great.
How many people look like Rocky in Thor country is my thing.
I mean, so that was, you know, kind of like the focus I wanted to get in the situation, you know, as far as the story was some of the comments he had previously made and then just kind of circle it around to, you know, his proximity to whiteness. You know, in America, he had entree to wealthy circles and influential circles, and he knew designers, and he knows, you know, people in Soho and Beverly Hills, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting to see this case play out where, you know, that privilege, it doesn't seem to be carrying over to other countries. But before, you know, he thought it was all good.
Yeah, that's we call that taking a sip with an OJ.
Yeah.
If you catch my drift, it's like, you know, you're almost like, all right, you had too much just because you think, you know, you're in a certain position in life and, you know, you've reached a certain level of affluence.
Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, you're at the Tropicana.
Exactly. But the one thing that I think that was kind of troubling was there was a clip that also came out that showed Future, and people were making fun of, you know, just the whole situation where Future was overseas somewhere.
So that's on my list too.
Okay. I don't want to get too deep into it, but someone stole off one of his bodyguard, and it was the same type of thing where Rocky was kind of in the same situation where the natives kind of made this situation uncomfortable for him. They were moving a certain way, but you know, obviously they got the best of the natives, and that is what really alerted the cops and got him in that situation. But man, like that's tough though. Like Locked Up Abroad, like that show and just that whole concept is just very, very scary.
Yeah, but I think if you're going to be, I think he's in a decent country for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if I had to pick places, but all the places in Europe to be locked up, that's
but he was in Rikers, right?
Yeah, he was in Rikers.
Well, I don't know. Look, I only did 3 hours of holding, okay, and I was ready to leave. So I'm not an expert. Okay.
Yeah. I can't.
I don't want no smoke, man.
I don't want none of that.
None of that. No. I rebuke all that. But what I'm saying is that, you know, he has the resources to really work this situation out.
Right. And, well, I mean, he's got people speaking out on his behalf that
and bringing awareness. Exactly. Thing is that now is really not the time to be in a diplomatic crisis, because look who's sitting at the who's running the White House right now.
Right. Well, I think the part that's been interesting to me is that you know, initially there was like a great outcry for people to speak up and, you know, bring the situation to light, and you know, he did actually respond to it, but then people were like, yo, wait, hold up, man, we're trying to appeal to this guy's sensibilities when he's got kids locked in cages. So get them kids locked out of those cages first.
Did Justin Bieber get this? And yeah, see, that's the thing, you know, I fear.
Hey, Rocky, be cool, yo, we gotta get these kids out first,
for real, man.
Keep it about, get them kids out of the border and back to their parents. Yeah. That's real talk right there, because that's fucked up. Seriously. Yeah. Oh shit, man down.
But like, there's no other way to put it. Like, I mean, just some of the things that are going on, whether you want to talk about Flint or whether you want to talk about ICE, and you know, they're doing Gestapo raids, and you know, you know, rounding people up and separating families, and you know, literally children, babies are being held in inhumane, you know, conditions, and it's just business as usual for this guy.
Right. And you know, not to mention just the repercussions of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see how these children don't become radicalized at some point.
Right.
Yeah, he's building a army of people that are going to absolutely have nothing but hatred for him, and some may even go as far as to have that hatred towards the entire country, which, you know, could, you know, seriously affect, you know, things moving forward, because these kids are, you know, they're basically, you know, political prisoners for all intents and purposes, you know, in concentration camps.
Let me tell you something. The fact that this is happening now is okay. So I knew it was not going to be good if we elected this person. I mean, I knew.
I think we all pretty much. Well, and when I say all, I mean the three of us speaking here today.
I knew this was going to be bad, but I don't think I really imagined this.
And so the thing is, we talked about this on our show. We did. We were saying, like, yeah, when people say it doesn't matter because they're all the same. No, not really. because they're like, you know, all the candidates, just by the sheer nature of the business, have their flaws. Because one, they're human. Two, they're politicians. So there are going to be flaws. There are going to be things that are shady. Just is a nature of the business that you're going to have to just chalk that up to politics. But there's a different, as a great man once said, this is a different degree of homicide. So in this dude specifically, first we don't even really believe that he wanted to win. He just wanted publicity for his endeavors. And then when he realized he did have a legitimate shot to win, he's just going to use it to further his own interests. And that means literally by any means necessary. So this is just a way to appeasing people that believe, you know, ultimately that Mexicans are terrorists and all that kind of shit. So this is a way to appease them to, you know, bank their votes and just double and triple down on the lowest common denominator of his base. And it's just, it's really just a deplorable thing, man. That in 2019, we have not even adults, but actual kids and babies in cages. And they're trying to justify it. You know, it's sick.
Yeah, when he talked about building a wall, which obviously is not going to happen in the next 7, you know, 8, 9, 20, 100 years.
Forever years.
When he talked about a wall, you know, he got people's attention. But like, this is like even better for a lot of the people. Like, I'm in a place now where every now and then people will walk around with the MAGA hat, and it really just shows me what you're about without you even opening your mouth. Like, I know, you know, if something jumps off, I know you're, you know, what you're about. So really, he's found a way to actually distract people from the fact that a lot of the promises that he said that he was going to follow through on are impossible. And he just doesn't have the mental capacity to enact some of these things. So he's using other things as distractions, but it's like, why would you do this? You know, like, why would you build a wall of people instead of actually trying to follow through on some of the other things you're doing? So, you know, he's a detriment. It can't be, you know, stated any more clearly than what some of his actions are. So,
listen, I'm surprised that we're still standing. Personally, I personally feel like we've been on the brink. We probably don't know because they haven't told us. And deep down, I don't think the Obama administration turned over everything to him. I don't think they did. There's no way. There's no way he did. Like, there's no way he turned all this stuff over to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotta have, like, dud numbers. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just can't believe that he has this shit. And it's... Yeah, like I said, now is not the time to be going through diplomatic crises.
Mm-mm.
Because at least, you know, Hillary was former Secretary of State. She knows a lot about foreign policy. And
it's a lot. And it's just like when you see different things, you almost have to double and triple take. Like, yo, is this really happening? And then you just think about it like, all the other shit that's been going on the last couple years, and be like, yep, this is real. You know, sometimes it doesn't even seem like, oh no, okay, that's something that a bad joke from Comedy Central or, you know, The Daily Show. It's a spoof, but nope.
Yeah, no, it's sad. One of the scariest things for a child isn't necessarily like the boogeyman or like thunder and lightning. It really is just like separation anxiety, you know, just not being around someone that's familiar or being around your loved ones that you've only known, you know, for your entire life. So it's just really sad. You know, it obviously, you know, if you think about it long enough, you'll definitely get choked up. And there definitely at this point, there needs to be some enraged consequences for, you know.
Let me tell you something. Everybody who works for ICE needs to go to jail.
Yeah, like, did you see Ice Bay? What did you think about that?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it, yeah. And I'm just not surprised at this point. Okay, so can I pivot for a hot second?
Sure.
So can we talk about how and I'm not even going to there's a segment of the male population that they literally will excuse anything for a piece of ass. And it's like, come on, people. And it's just extremely difficult when these are people, when these particular men are men of color or African-American men, because it's like, come on now. Like, this, it's not that important. I'm sorry. Like, there are children on the border. Like, like we have modern day concentration camps on American soil. The fact that they are actually doing something like that to them, to this segment of the population, I'm sorry, but as an African American, it's always in the back of my mind that this can be us.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like, I don't ever get comfortable. Like, I don't with that notion. Like, oh, we're free now. Like, no, we haven't.
They could go to the projects like tonight if they wanted to, and just start rounding up people. They might have a fight on their hands, but yeah, I mean, none of us would be like, wow.
I feel like he'd be like trying to find the right kind of angle to justify it. Like the whole thing with Chicago, he kept saying he was like hoping enough people would be like, yeah, you know, and so he could justify doing that kind of shit. But that never leaves my too far from my mind. Like when you think about all the major cities, you know, that if shit ever went left in martial law, I'd always feel like just looking for the right kind of justification to declare martial law, because then that puts all elections and things of that nature on pause and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a theory out here that's where he would like things to go. So then it wouldn't matter if he needs to get reelected, because elections get suspended when martial law is in effect and just things of that nature. And you know, that's how this, you know, ball of wax, you know, slowly grows and it's never far from the back of my mind, you know, especially, you know, we all have children, and mm-hmm. so it's just one of those things that you can't help but think about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so when I heard about, like I said, when I heard about Ice Bay, I was not surprised niggas was with the shits, you know. Yeah. It's all right though. Like, okay, I get it, but just the same, like it can't be
that. Yeah, see, and you know, for you know, not to necessarily put it on that, but I mean, like, was she really that bad, guys? Like that we had to like make it a whole thing. Like she looked like a regular law enforcement person to me. Like, it wasn't like Jennifer Lopez, who just turned 50, you know, that still, you know, is out here looking like she's not 50. But, you know, when I saw the video and whatnot, I was just like, come on, guys, really? And then the video, the fact is, like, there's like people like on top of each other in a cage that she's like monitoring. So that's the part where it's just like, well, how did y'all even get to the point? Like, oh man, you're all
that's what you're looking at.
Like, you're all of them on top of each other. Oh wait, she's bad. Hold up, like, really? Like, that's where we are
now. Like, is now the time for that? Really? And see, you know, this is my theory. I feel like some of these things like that are distractions designed by the Russians. I think that some of these African American accounts are troll accounts. I'm starting to believe it. Anybody say anything negative, I just like, especially anti-black, you know, saying these things, it's like, no. Mm-mm. The things that people seem to just want to react to, and I'm like, we have to stop feeding those types of discussions and comments, you know, and just, you know, move on from it. But this just happened, and so I have a question for you all, so you keep moving forward. Have you been keeping up with the Jeffrey Epstein and R. Kelly cases?
Yeah.
Yo, that dude doesn't exist in my world, man. The only I was already not a fan of his, and Vada tell you that like I, this is something that this is kind of like the hill that I've been on for a minute, about Rob, and then the only problem I have is that like I can't listen to Street Dreams remix anymore. Like that's my only concern with R. Kelly, because it just, you know. But other than that, you know, fuck that dude in the ear, man. Oh, and that will happen soon enough for R. He will be singing for his life. And
well, mm-hmm. I'll talk about the other person. Poor Jeff, not really poor Jeff. seems like we've talked about a lot of privilege so far on this show, and he's definitely like the personification of it.
Obviously,
his bigger pursuits have been. Have been in the news, but just now, which I hope, you know, breaking news, but I guess it won't be breaking, but he was maybe found injured.
Yeah, in his cell.
So there may have been an attempt by himself to just say, yo, this is too much. But the overall point of him, I guess, is the first thing that the news is going to lead with is American financier. You know, capitalist,
the millionaire financier, being held on federal sex trafficking charges.
Right.
Like, oh, it's
like nobody else gets their, you know, their most grand, work pursuit placed in front of their name, except for them. It's so crazy. But the part that stuck out to me was the NBC video that came out of him and old boy Trumpito hanging out and grabbing ass and
that's his man, Joe. They had a party with 50 people, and it was them two and the rest was girls, and it was
they were just taking their pick. Yuck. It's just disgusting, man. The other guy, he's always been nasty. Obviously, Epstein, these guys with this, you know, incredible wealth and power. You know what they've been about, you know, since BC, you know, since they were wearing loincloths and, laying in the gymnasiums together. So, it's just disheartening just to see, all of these things go on, and you know they can hide behind this sheath of money. You know,
they really love their pedophilia.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy because,
and they throw it in people's faces too. They like dare you. Yo, this dude got to go to work. He was in jail and got to leave jail to go to work, and then he would come back to jail. You know, be there for 8 hours, get up and do it again. Like who could you imagine being in jail, like in a cell next to dude, and you doing your time, and this dude gets to leave, gets like showers, gets to go out in the world, and then come back. And like that was his original sentence when he got arrested for this. It was like, you know, it's like a whole fucking joke that
the way the justice system favors the wealthy.
Yeah, I can't even call it the justice system. It's just the system, because there is no justice in that. I mean, we've seen, you know, numerous accounts where we know like people that were innocent and they still get railroaded, or people that we know were guilty that get off. And it's just like, you know, this whole vicious cycle, and it just continues to show you that, you know, that famous Chris Rock skit, if OJ had been a rental to bus driving murderer, you know, he would have got convicted in, you know, 45 minutes, and you know, this isn't a thing.
Yeah, no, these guys are sick, man. It's just any, you know, trafficking and, you know, child abuse, because that's what it really is with some of the underage, young ladies and whatnot. But again, you know, money talks. So, you know, that people turn an eye, or, you know, they act like they don't see what's going on. But, you know, the hell with them, man. That's all I can say about all of that. And you know, if you're trafficking human beings, like you're the lowest of the low.
Yeah, that's the worst kind of individual, because like you really are damaging people. But because once a child goes through that kind of experience, no matter what kind of rehabilitation they go, they're never the same. You know,
you've already kind of killed them inside. So what's left, whatever the residue is, isn't quite what, you know, a normal life is supposed to be. So it's never going to be that way. You've taken their soul, essentially. So, same thing with Kels. You know, he's obviously was always a tremendous talent. We knew that he was troubled.
I don't think he was a tremendous talent.
You say you don't think that he was a tremendous talent?
No, I was never ever really a big R. Kelly fan.
Yeah, I understand that. From the standpoint of maybe what he was able to make musically, maybe if you don't care for his music, nonetheless, that his ability to at least have a career, amongst several decades, puts him into a different light as far as musically.
Over several decades, and he absolutely was illiterate the whole time.
That's a fact. The thing that I just don't like was, like, even now, like people knew, like, he was this deviant person, you know, like he was a miscreant the entire time. And, you know, obviously it got exposed in a way that was, like, it predates some of the technology we have in terms of just like the way, you know, some of his exploits got spread around, so to speak, you know, with the tapes and everything. So like people knew, like, hey, this guy is like on some other stuff. And it was just like, well, hey, he keeps cranking out the hits, so let's just let it go. And it's like,
yeah, it's almost like he got more famous, like after all of that stuff.
It was just like, yeah, Kel was a wild dude. It's like,
but that was the thing, you know. I remember talking about it because, like, I was an undergrad when the whole scandal broke. I think I mentioned it before. I was the same age as Aaliyah when I was growing up. So when I was watching the whole thing, I just was like, she's probably sleeping with that old man. But I was like, he's nasty.
Yeah.
And that's really what, you know, I never really was a big R. Kelly fan because I did like Guy. And so, you know,
people forget you like R. Kelly did to Aaron Hall. That's a line, and that was a thing. But Kelly, man, that dude, like, it's almost like he was like have you ever seen the movie American Psycho?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in that movie, the character Patrick Bateman, he's just that. He's an American. He's a mass murderer. He's killing all these women and just whoever, you know, that comes across. And he's literally trying to tell people, and the people around him, you know, have an invested interest in keeping up a certain kind of persona. So they just pretend like nothing happens. And this dude is insane. Some of that, to a degree, I believe happened with R. Kelly. Like, as much of a sicko as he was, there were so many people that had an invested interest in him not being exposed. They covered it up because he was the cash cow, and you can't have the cash cow, you know, getting cooked. So they just continue to, you know, cover it up or brush it aside or whatever to continue making money off of his, you know, because as we've seen, as these things have come out, he doesn't have the money, you know, and that probably goes back to your point of him being, you know, illiterate. You know, he doesn't have the money that he should for the success his music has garnered. So there's a lot of people that made, you know, tens of millions off of this dude, all while knowing exactly who and what he is. Yeah. And that's ultimately the just as sick and maybe even worse.
Right. It's the enablers around it. It was a whole network.
Yeah, it literally took a village in the sickest kind of way to keep this dude doing all this kind of vile shit this long.
And the thing about it is that now we're seeing people are starting to cooperate because it's the feds now. You're doing the feds now. The feds saw the R. Kelly documentary on Lifetime.
And let's be clear, man. Like,
take a look at this.
I believe wholeheartedly that even the feds knew what was going on, but there's a thing with a lot of FBI investigations where they don't interfere, you know, like they have a specific thing of surveillance and it's not to interfere at whatever cost. And they have a thing. So like we all heard the stories that Tupac was under surveillance the night he died. Same thing with Big. Yeah. And all these different things where the FBI literally watch crimes happen. But it's not what they were there for, so they don't intervene, and they just allow these things to happen. So I definitely believe, especially the way artists of, especially in that 90s and late 2000s era, were being followed by law enforcement and watched by law enforcement. Of course, they knew what was going on, man, and they're just as guilty for letting this go on this long. You know what I mean, so yeah.
Because it always was taken. The trials always played out locally in the state courts in Cook County. This is Chicago, right?
Mm.
I think. If memory serves me correctly, I could be wrong. If I'm not,
whatever right. County it was, they was allowing that shit to go down
pretty much. But it seemed like everybody was on the payroll because it just seemed like everyone knew. There, people talked about this way before the first sex tape.
Yeah, Cook County.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then all the song titles and like you hear all that shit different now, like you know, Seems Like You're Ready and My Mind's Telling Me No, My Body's Telling Me Yes and all that kind of shit. AJ Nothing But a Number, which he wrote,
it is just like, girl.
Yeah.
That he was somehow married to.
Yeah.
And how did that shit go down? I mean, so a lot of people got a lot of explaining to do, man.
A lot of people knew. He's. I think people have known about this since, the whole Aaliyah situation. There's no way no one knew.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you do find this a lot, though. When there's a cash cow involved, people will go out of their way to cover things up, man, to protect the image or to protect the profit, whatever it is. Like, you see this with a lot of rich families where they got that one nutso kid. Mm-hmm. There's the DuPont family, which are, you know, they're big. Yeah. And there's a whole documentary and movie about the DuPont son. He was insane and he was a killer, and he, you know, and they covered it up. And then we all heard the stories about the Kennedys and, you know, their cover ups, you know. Yeah. So these are the things that happen when you're trying to protect a brand. And that's what a lot of people were doing. They were protecting the brand because the brand was R. Kelly and he was the cash cow.
Whew. Yep. That's absolutely correct. And it's sad because look at what expense? The expense of all those girls.
Yeah.
And that's very, 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 very tragic. As a community,
right?
You know, the people who not only knew about this and did nothing, but what about the community at large, who not only did people watch the video and make commentary on the video? You people who watched it knew, like, we from watching, like, oh no, she's underage.
We're all from the same era. This thing was for sale in a lot of hoods. You know that, you know, you go to, you know, you go and you see the little bootleg videos. I mean, and that tape was for sale at a lot of
child,
I mean, ultimately, when you bust it down, that's exactly what it was, but it wasn't even treated like that. And that goes to the problem of, you know, people justifying R. Kelly's behavior, because a child was not looked at as a child. They made her to be a consenting adult, even though that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a whole minor. Everyone is a minor in all those videos. And pretty much, yeah, people are watching and trading child pornography. And that's usually how it works. When you look at pedophile rings, it's some guy with a terabyte of data, you know, and that's why you got to pay attention to some of these, you know, computer motherfuckers, like, hold up. But he'll, you know, they'll get these networks where they go, you know, on, you know, like underground, if you will. I don't think, well, they closed Silk Road because they exposed all their pedophiles. They didn't want them there. But they go on their dark web and basically trade images and videos and things like that.
Sick.
And exactly. And it's like when we talk about that, you know, it's when we talk about that, we talk about with such outrage, like, oh my God, this pedophile ring, like this sickos, you know, not in my yard, blah, blah, blah. And then when we have this incident in our community, oh well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tragedy on a number of levels.
And you know what, the other part that I'll say that hasn't happened yet, because like Phil was saying, the cash cow part of it, but you know, we've all heard of the different maybe radio shows or radio stations that will you know, famously ban someone for whatever actions that they've done that, you know, a lot of their listenership disagrees with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he went decades without that happening to him.
Right.
You know, so the only
there was radio stations that had R. Kelly, you know, power hours for, you know, in spite of this, you know, it, like when this was going on, his music actually spiked in listening, which is like a whole nother type of sickening when you think about that. Like he actually, well, not him, whoever owns that music actually profited off of this entire situation, because his streaming numbers went up.
Yeah. So yeah, the onus really is, just to just one last point about this, the onus of course definitely is always on the accused, especially when you're as guilty as he is, as well as his cohorts and all the people that are trying to defend him and working on his defense team and whatnot. But yeah, also, I mean, really, you know, like you said, like the community really has an active role in this too, just because they've been complicit in terms of, you know, just sharing and tolerating and, you know, just turning a blind eye to what's been out in the open for, you know, the better part of this century.
Yeah.
So,
and it just was blatant. Like there was no hiding.
Yeah. This was real life SVU, man. And it's crazy to think that it played out like one of those episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, yeah, people were just blatantly saying, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm never going to stop listening to R. Kelly. Like, you just be looking like, dang, nigga. Like,
We all know people that say, but he may step in the name of love, though. And it's like, what does that have to do with the fact that this dude's a fucking monster?
Like, and, yeah. And the more you listen to it, the more money he made, the more he did it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he did it. Yep.
Wow, like you funded that shit. Like right. And that's the crazy part. Like when you really like unpack it.
Yeah, like remember like when right after 9/11 happened, everybody was like, oh, don't do this. You know, you'll fund terrorism. Don't do this. You'll fund that's it was the same thing, except you were funding, you know, his activities. And it's just like, yeah. And then you think about it, you're like, damn, I bought so-and-so, or I bought, you know, Chocolate Factory. And it's like, you can't take that back. And it's you just gotta, it's just one of them things. It's just sickening, man. Like, I hope you get everything that's coming to him, man.
Like he said back in the, you know, best of both worlds era, whatnot. I'm the one that got sprayed with pepper spray. I was like, good. That
sprayed with Ty came through that night.
In my mind, how that played out is that Ty saw something way highly inappropriate. It was like, yo, we can't let this go on, man. We can't be associated with this. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm imagining, and hopefully that's how it played out in real life.
Like, he sounded like such a bitch ass Mark. Like, I was like, yeah,
he's about to be in the joint. They'd be like, yo, he gonna be some nigga's personal jukebox.
they gonna
kick him in the ass, and all you gonna hear is one. I mean, you know, he's just gonna be, yeah, man. I'm here for all of that, though. I mean, you know, it'll never fix the damage that he's done, but you know, I think he'll understand like the damage that he has done when shit starts to happen to him.
It just, I don't know. Well, see, here's the thing. He doesn't want to go out in the gym pop. He wants to stay in, and this is from an article that I read. He wants to stay in solitary confinement, but in solitary confinement, he can only go out for like 15 minutes or what have you. He doesn't get, you know, the same amount of phone calls. It's limited. And that because he can't read or write very well, he's having a difficult time reading the commissary menu to make his orders and stuff. And I was just like,
oh yeah, reading cost in jail too. You're gonna have to pay to get some nigga to read for him, you know. And yeah, so I'll just leave that there.
How hard is it to read grilled cheese?
See, this is where we get inappropriate. So, no, man,
rat feces. Keep his ass in solitary. You know, get them 15 minutes to go out in.
Is the menu laminated?
Shut up.
Oh,
I just want to know. I mean, you're telling me he's having difficulty ordering all that. What is this, room service? Come on. Oh, man.
Just tell him what you want.
Yeah.
Just roll him in and tell him what you want.
I don't eat pork. Well, here's a pork belly sandwich. Here you go.
Take it or leave it. And see what's back there. See if you recognize anything.
Oh man!
Oh boy! Listen. I don't make the news. I just report it. and we're going. So, you mentioned earlier about Future, right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, he was being racially harassed in the UK, and him and his bodyguards, I think his bodyguards started to defend him. And Future seemed, you know, kind of like walking away from the scene. He wasn't even really in the shot when it happened, but his bodyguard got snuck from behind. And he fell to the ground.
He knocked him out of his shoes.
Yeah, it was
love that. Well, he had one on.
Oh yes. Yeah.
He got knocked out of his shoe.
His shoe.
A shoe, yes. A shoe. Mm-hmm. One. Mm. Singular.
Bless
so
you.
So we see Future walking away, strolling away like an easy breezy bad bitch, you know. I don't even know what's going on.
No one was surprised though.
I mean, I don't, he doesn't strike me as a fighter.
But if you're gonna, if you were to come up with a list of the people, not just recording artists, but people that were least likely to help someone in their entourage or in their squad in a time of need, he's definitely very high on the least likely list. Like
he is who I thought he was. You both know I've never been a fan of this dude. For personal reasons, for musical reasons, for just reasons.
Shout out
to Maurice White.
yeah, man. To the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yo, man. I gotta feel like if Russell Wilson, one of his offensive linemen, had got snuffed, I feel like Russ would be there for one of his offensive linemen. I'm gonna just say that. But you know, he also takes care of dude's kids. So what do you expect? But you know.
Yeah, I mean, it, like, there's nothing shocking about the video except that no one came to that man's aid. You know, like, Future's involvement as far as him being out of the shot completely and the camera had to pan, like, several feet to even let us know that he was there. Right, with, like, kilometers at that point, I guess.
hit him with the metric system.
Yeah, I will say this. It looked like the young man was minding his own business. It looked like whatever was going on, you know, he was just ambling on in his own manner, and whatever it was, he was not obviously expecting to get stole off on like that. And you know, like that's just like the sharing of the video and the people that may have made comments like, oh man, he got snuffed. Like, I mean, that literally could be anybody, you know, like any moron walking through the mall or walking through, you know,
because it came up from behind on dude.
Yeah, you know, like that's just nothing, you know, respectable about that. And the guy that actually stole off on him, like, he'll get his eventually. Like,
when you he had something in his hand too.
Yeah, like, when you sucker punch people and you got weapons and stuff, like,
you don't need to do all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the karma for that is like,
oh, yeah, karma can be swift. That's one, so. The crazy part is, there's a lot of people justifying how Future's reaction based on everything that happened with ASAP, and I, even though I can't rock with Future, I almost feel like that was playing in his head, like, you know, to be in that same situation. But at the same time, if I don't know if they were friends,
was DJ Esco with him?
Oh,
I you know he wasn't getting involved.
Like, yeah, Esco was like, oh, man.
He's like, oh, no. And he was in you know,
an Arab
prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 56 nights.
Man.
Oh.
Look, if that was Esco walking away, like, no one would have said anything. It would just been like, no.
He would have had PTSD. He probably curled up in the fetal and was like, never again. Oh, there will not be a night 57. I promise you that.
But I thought, you know, like, you're right, it wasn't cool because he was walking away. Like, if you really wanted to just square with somebody, just square up with him. But, you know, y'all, you know, sucker punch people and doing all that, like, that was just extra. It wasn't cool. And you're right. You know, the karma on that alone is just enough.
And the video was edited too, so we don't even really know how it exactly went down. Like, you know, but we know the bodyguard got hit from behind, but we didn't see, like, before, like, because I felt like the bodyguard, he was a pretty big dude. I feel like he was getting his until it was just too many people, you know, and then also getting hit from behind, you know. I don't think they could have just walked up on my man and did that.
Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, protect the neck.
Yeah, man, but that is one of the things, man. Regardless of how I feel about Future, just celebrity in general, when you're a famous person like that, you're always a target to some degree, and you just gotta be super careful how you move, man.
Yeah, that's real, because a lot of times when you go overseas, what a lot of people don't know is that they are racist, saying they can be anti-black over there, and they can walk up on you and call you nigger. So if you're not prepared for that, you know, it happens. Like sometimes I've seen it with some black celebrities who are overseas, and if, you know, the paparazzi are stalking them and they don't want to take a picture or what have you, they'll start calling the nigger, you know, to get you to turn around and react and things like that. But it's disheartening. And to know that it's there, but yeah, you got to pick and choose your battles too. And sometimes you're just going to have to, you know, I think maybe in that particular situation, Future didn't want to end up like ASAP. So he said, that's down.
And, you know, his whole brand is selfishness. So, like, it wasn't going to, he wasn't going to lose any cool points.
You know what?
You know?
It's true. Nobody was surprised. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was like,
his whole brand is, you know, self-absorption. So, like, he wasn't going to lose not one fan. Like, not someone that fooled with him prior to that probably may fool with him a little bit more, because they probably see a little bit of themselves in the action. So.
Oh, yeah. There was already people quick to justify it but I'm just saying, because Rocky, like that, it wasn't a good look for the dude he you know put claims.
So my man is all right, man. Like, yeah. you take a weapon to the head, like, and you're not expecting it like that. Like that can definitely like turn into something else quickly.
Yeah,
you know. So
listen,
has anyone checked on the young man? Does he have his IG? Like, because like normally what happens in hip hop culture, you know, like. If it had been, you know, Floyd Mayweather that snuck him, you know, we would have already had a video like, no, I'm good. I'm Gucci. Look at my face. Like, yo, like, we about to go out tonight. Like, yo, like, not a scar, not a bruise, you know. So I'm just wondering, like, has anyone checked on this young man? Is he okay?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about it, actually. And it's interesting because I didn't see any additional follow up on it, because I think was it originally posted by TMZ?
I think it was.
I believe so.
I think it was.
So yeah, maybe I didn't see any follow up with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really read them like I used to. So yeah, it's just, regardless, you know, it was just a lot, like a lot. So we got to get to the top five. So let me go over this last one right here. This is something that I found out on Twitter, and I thought it was ridiculous, but I was like, you know, maybe we'll get a chuckle out of it. Maybe. But there was a young man. He was a 21-year-old man. He's from Japan. And he said that one day his grandmother told him that she had borrowed a pair of thermal socks from him. And to the young man's, I guess, for lack of a better word, chagrin, grandma had on a pair of two flesh dolls, or flesh, what are those flesh things? Little vagina sockets?
Oh, hold on, what?
There's not a fleshlight, but it's like it's vagina shaped, and it's clearly it's something you use to jerk off. Clearly,
oh, like a pussy pocket.
I guess I'll go with that. Yes, boom, pussy pocket. Yes, grandma put pussy pockets on her feet. That's what she did.
By mistake?
Oh, it's grandma. Come on now. She just was like, oh, I just brought the socks, sweetie.
It's so warm, baby. These socks are so warm. But... they just slid right on.
Oh, man.
Oh, grandma.
Oh, man. I was just like, you know what? It's like, I want to share this with you all. It's funny.
No, man, that's wild, yeah.
Oh, boy. Let me see. All right, I'm going to do it right there. All right, share this for me. There you go. So, yeah, it was hilarious. A hootenanny. Raucous.
Oh, man. Yo, this is wild. Oh, yeah, she definitely had... She, yeah, that's exactly what those are.
What's it like?
Yeah, you got to protect Nana at all times, man. You can't have her in situations like that. Like, you know what you got.
Oh, do you see them trying to... They got the video of them trying to pull them off her feet, yo?
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, come on. Like she should have seen these and been like, oh, come on, grandson.
Dress up. Oh, sorry. She, no, she, no,
oh.
Yeah. That's one of those ones. You got to reevaluate some things in life for that happen.
Like, she had to know what that was. I mean, come on. It ain't been that long.
Like, she didn't know. Nana didn't know. Don't do Nana like that.
Grandma seen that before, man. Yeah, oh man, why they got a picture of her laying down with them on like they hospital socks, so. and just as a sidebar, why do hospitals got like the fire socks though?
Let me tell you something with the little grip on the bottom.
Yo,
my nigga.
Yo, I mean, like, I'm not a fan of hospitals, but if you ever have to go to one, make sure you get socks, man.
Oh yeah, open up them drawers, swipe the socks. I'm telling you right now, it's. You're welcome.
Yeah, man, that's a good PSA to have. Yo, hospital socks is that work, but these are not socks, ladies and gentlemen.
No, yeah. The one comment was, oh well, I guess grandma was pussyfooting around.
And you know what? That's what I titled this. Pussyfoot Granny.
Yeah,
in my show notes, it's Pussyfoot Granny. I did that.
Yo, that's, I see what you did amazing. There.
Bars.
So the strain of tonight is white cheese, my niggas. So I'm smoking on, and it's a Zambeza seeds. Is an indica dominant hybrid that crosses super skunk and Afghani genetics, and it carries the skunky cheese aroma with an earthy note and provides relaxing indica effects without being a total knockout. Its euphoric buzz keeps away stress and anxiety. The short flowering cycle, compact nature, and large yield makes white cheese especially attractive to growers. Let me tell you, these have like a nice white, chunky, leafy, little sticky, just it's perfect, just a tad sticky. Like
you speaking Arabic right now.
Oh, no. Okay.
As you should know, I know you know, but for the people listening, when Cook was on our podcast, the title of the episode was HOC, as in high off contact, because neither myself nor my brother partake in the stickiest of the icky, although we are stickiest of the icky adjacent because of our mutual relationships with pretty much the rest of the world. So yeah, I mean, so we
are very well, sir. Good yeah, job.
So yeah, while you are speaking Arabic right now, we have been Rosetta Stoned in in our yeah, I mean we are somewhat fluent in which you and of which you speak. You know, okay. I got an interpreter at my crib, and as you know.
Hey, what up? So no, it's like I enjoy this strain because that's what I've been imbibing this evening while we've been talking. And it does give you like a nice floaty euphoric feeling. Normally this time of evening I would be in bed, but I'm up doing this, and so I'm okay. And yeah, it's so the effects are happy, euphoric, relaxed, uplifted, and focused. And I feel like I'm all these things at once.
There you go. As long as it do what it do, man. I mean, like I've partake in edibles on several occasions. While I don't smoke, it's just never been my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I mean, obviously, because I mean, I'm human. I've smoked in my lifetime, but it's just never been my thing personally. So I can appreciate the feeling though, as someone that has partaked in edibles on you know a few occasions. Although it's a different kind of high, I do appreciate that feeling that I'm sure that you're experiencing right now as we conduct this work of Mark.
Let's see. Did you all bring your list?
You know it.
Oh, I'm locked in, man. All right. My only problem was trying to choose five.
So, even though, you know, you guys are non-smokers, I was like, you guys, you love the tissue and the tape. You know, you're about your hip-hop and shit. So I was like, you can handle this.
Absolutely. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our top five songs we like to smoke to. All right? Okay. So who wants to start it off?
I'll go first because Phil probably has like 15 and I just kept it at five.
Probably.
I kept my list at five, even though it was extremely difficult to do so. But I like to follow the rules, at least for the first time.
So I took what you said and interpreted it just a little bit, just put my own little twist on it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about songs about smoking, but it was songs that I would play like a mini playlist if I did happen to score some of the stickiest. Mm-hmm. You know. So yeah, so
that sweet Chiba.
Yeah, definitely. some of that white cheese. Mm-hmm. So yeah, one of them was Can't Knock the Hustle.
It's a good one to sing while you're high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Original or remix?
No, just the original album version, LP version.
You see that? Yeah. You get it? Because that's the Mary joint. Take it out this
time. Yeah. It just has that feel to it. Like I just
need it does.
You know, like
see, I like where you're going, Chief, because you're speaking my language now.
Okay. My second one that I had on my list was Smith and Wesson, and then I guess you could say like Boot Camp Click, Soundboy Burial.
Oh, let's go.
Like that just feels like you just need to just like okay. And you know what? Like I'm actually gonna like for that first song, like the like it's Chiba, so I'm gonna use different euphemisms for each one. So it was Chiba for that one. Chiba, y'all. For this one, you gotta like the boom. You gotta take it to the 90s, like Brooklyn, like you gotta like the boom for this one. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. So that's the second one. Third is one of my favorite Common Sense songs, top five Common song for me. Nan Champa. Jay Dilla produced. Common famously said, you know, he had his eyes on the prize, his eyes on the thighs of Mary J. Blige. With this one, obviously, Nan Champa is an incense, but you know, it also just has that feel to it. And yeah, definitely if I was rolling an L, you know, this would be it. So L for this one. Keith Murray's Get Lifted. Use a classic sample for that one.
Listen, legalizing our advertise. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. Yeah, so that always just made me think about it. Then when that came out, Phil, we were like sophomores, so there was a lot of
there was a lot in high school.
Yeah. So there was a lot of L smoke in the air. Salute to Keith. And then last but not least, although it's not necessarily like super hip hop, it is kind of the culture a little bit. It just makes me think of just smoking. I think this is probably pretty enjoyable for people. Donald Glover, who's obviously been in the news a little bit here lately. Redbone, man. Redbone just sounds like a just get high song. You know, so yeah, everything about that song, just from how the intro is, you know, just everything about it just makes me think about that. So Can't Knock the Hustle, Soundboy Burial, Non Champa, Get Lifted, and Redbone.
That's okay. My favorite. That's a very, 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 very good list. And
thank you.
I can, as a smoker, I ship it. I can tell you that. We smoked you all those things that you named. You did a really good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm gonna go ahead and jump in right here.
Yeah. What about you?
Okay, so as a resident smoker, I am gonna kind of walk you guys through it, and you know, of course, for copyright purposes, can't really, you know, play most of these songs on here because I don't want to get my episode yanked out. But for my number one song, I definitely love Bone Thugs and Harmony, but Smokers Only.
Mm.
I like that song.
I'm taking notes, by the way.
Oops. But Smokers Only, but Smokers Only, only.
that sounds like them in harmony.
Right. And then, so for number two, one of my favorite rappers, Devin the Dude, I like High Right Now. And that is a fun one because whenever I go see him perform, he performs the song and it's always a good time. And it's pretty apt. And I'm usually in the audience. Fucking high right now, like fried right now, like good time. Okay, so for number three, this is something that I definitely like to smoke to. Like if I'm driving, say, on my way to the function, driving home from the function, or driving home from work, you know, I just want to put one in the air real quick. You know, I really like to throw on some Project Pat, and you know, the bees is my shit. And that is something that I love listening to when I'm smoking because it's, I think it's a Bobby Womack sample. And I want to say that it is. And it gives me that funky soul, just all the stuff I need. And it's Pimp Bam. It's Pimp Bam or whatever. And then... Where's the Bud by 3-6 Mafia? It's a classic to me because it came out, you know, probably over 20 years ago by now. And it holds up. It holds up very well. You know, and it's got that early kind of grimy sound to it. And it holds up very well when you listen to it now. The beat, the lyrics, everything. And then, of course, from one of my favorite groups, UGK, Chopping Blades.
Chopping Blades.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
You just gained like 1,000 points just now on the scoreboard for that one.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Hey, Bun got loose on that.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely. It was just and I do like to play it in my car. It's
Oh man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did. That's what it's for. Yeah.
He said he's got your chick wetter than the captain of the swim team.
Sweeter than the biscuit.
Can't beat that. Can't beat that.
Yeah. So it just it works. So that's my list. High Right Now, Devin the Dude, Buzz Smokers Only, Bone Thugs and Harmony, You Know the Biz, Project Pat, and then Where's the Bud, 3-6 Mafia, and Chopping Blades, UGK.
No East Coast on this.
You know, interestingly enough, no, I couldn't think of it.
Cook ain't got love for the East Coast?
You know, as I age, you know, I've gravitated a little bit more back to, I feel like, my roots, if you will. But even though I still love Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang is the greatest. That's not going to change. Okay.
No hate. Just an observation.
It's an observation. No, that's good. Hey, listen, we actually, just because of how hip hop culture was so dominant, and you know, just kind of where it all evolved from, it's always beautiful to see other regions and other. It just shows the elevation.
Oh yeah, I'm about to take you across the map, baby.
There you go.
Here we go. I'm buckled in.
All right. So you know, of course, as we mentioned earlier, I'm not a smoker either, but I like to set mood, so I like vibe, and unlike yourself, I made like a playlist of what I would like to hear. So there's the first thing I went and vibe, you'll know this one, Razzcast, Marinating. That was from the Soul on Ice album. So that was my first one, just to get the set the tone. Once you set the tone, then I got my spider sense tangling, and I got beans fill it in the air.
Mm. That's what you're paranoid.
But when my favorite line of that song, Phil, before you move on, with beans is like, watch for the puppet. Watch for the puppet master, and
watch who you puffing after.
Yo, that's my favorite Beans line. Watch who you puffing after. Like that sounded
he meant like that from experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know. It's true. It's wild. It to you. That's that. You know, I can feel it in the air. Yeah. When you said that shit, that was my shit right there.
Yeah.
Can hear it in your voice. Like you'd be like. Like, yeah, what that mean? Like,
and then
like, now, especially like if you were smoking, like, man, that nigga owe me some money and shit for a bag and shit. Like, that nigga, he owns some grimy shit. Like, I don't trust that nigga. The nigga coming at me. Like, y'all may not know about that life, but still.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then the third one I had, this one was tough because it was either going to be Nas or Jay-Z, so I just kind of flipped the coin, and I went with Jay, and I went with Feeling It.
Mm.
9-6 and Forever.
There you go.
Fill the glass to the top one moment.
Yep, shout out to Mecca that was singing that drum. So... Got that net that always keeps the groove going. So then
I contradicted myself. Look, I don't need that now.
Interesting.
And then number four, because of how I get down, went with Outkast, Slum Beautiful, featuring CeeLo.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then just to end it, how else to end it better than with a climax? So I went with Slum Village, climax, Some Shit for a Girl.
Excellent.
Okay. All right.
And then that's how I get down. That's to set that vibe. And then I had about 75 more tracks that, because you know how I get, but those will be revealed in the at a later date.
So, for 2020.
For 420 tracks.
Yes, yes. Make it happen.
No, but those all like those are all songs that would that I would probably for sure be listening to if I chose to partake.
You know, so here's my observation. None of us picked a Nas song.
I had one, but I was told to keep it to five. I had Nas's Purple. That probably would have been the sixth song.
I thought about that one.
I didn't even think of Nas.
Shame on you. Shame.
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 Shame. Well, I mean, I like him. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, but listen, you can't, you don't try to G-check me right now. I'm the smoker.
Fair enough.
That's a great soundbite. That's a great soundbite.
Yeah. Personally, like, think about it. I would do. And all I'm saying is, yeah, you know, I think there was a pattern with me. I think I established a pattern.
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely. And it's just very interesting that each list, you know, I think Savon's list was the most organized to me.
Okay.
No doubt.
It was the most organized. And I think yours, Phil, it was the most, I mean, and I'm not knocking myself or Savon, but I think it was the most interesting because it was so varied. So that's it.
Yo, this was awesome, man. I wanted to thank you, man, for inviting us for the inaugural voyage.
Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, thank you. I appreciate you being able to come. And I thank you for agreeing to do this because this is just the beginning. You know, as soon as you know, it wasn't until I realized I started doing this, I realized like, damn, like I put a lot of work. We put a lot of work into the first show. And I was like, yeah, that was a lot of work getting everything set up. And I was like, oh, bitch, you got to do it again. So I was like, nah, today. So at some point, there will be a changeover for the new station. But for the most part, you know, we're going to be moving forward. A little Highly Inappropriate. That's the brand. That's who we are. And once we get the new link for the new feed, send that out or whatever. So be on the lookout for that. But I want to thank Phil. I want to thank Savad, last name Davis. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for coming. And do you all have any last words?
Definitely. Once again, just wanted to thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there. We implore you to check out Tissue and the Tape. We are a hip hop culture podcast, conservation through conversation. And, you know, we talk about everything from politics to obviously hip hop culture, but definitely things that just relate to the everyday struggle of being Black and being hip hop in America.
Absolutely, man. Sports, drugs, entertainment, you know.
Until the arraignment.
Until the arraignment. Killer. yeah, man. You can check us out on social media. We're at Tissue and the Tape on everything. We're on you can find the podcast on God. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Christian Mingle. We everywhere, man. You know, so you can definitely check us out. 223 episodes. We are actually officially the longest running hip hop podcast in the world, excluding nobody. Mm-hmm. We do this for real. So please, if you care about hip hop music and culture, check us out. And you know, of course, respect he holders.
Hey, So thank you very much. As always, for now, you can catch me on IG at cook_Simmons. And as soon as we get the new link up, you can switch over. But for now, you can still catch us on the Cooking the Couch and Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever RSS Radio is found.
Yeah, so, yeah, man. And shout out to you, man, for always being a supporter of our show and our movement, man. You always show us a lot of love on all your different platforms. So we definitely appreciate that.
Not a problem. And, anytime.
Listen. And, you know, and we definitely will reciprocate.
Oh, listen, this is what we do. You know what I'm saying? You do what you do, and then I'm out here doing my thing. So it's mine, is yours, you know, anytime. So thank you once again for coming, and until I see you again, till next time, right?
That's right.
No doubt.
All right.